Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry. Sherry, are you there? Sherry, I think you're, oh, I see you in queue twice here. Let me try this. Sherry Huber, are you there?
I am, sir. Can you, you got me now?
Yes, yes, you're in the queue.
Oh, good.
I'm going to mute the other Sherry Huber in the queue here.
Get rid of her. She's been dogging me for years. Get rid of her.
Your twin, huh?
That's right, the evil twin. She's the evil one. Trust me.
Great. I have announcements here to kick us off.
All right. Sounds good.
If there's a place in your life where you feel stuck, our upcoming offering, Risk Getting Unstuck, a Socratic email class with Sherry, should be just the thing. Beginning January 31st and over the course of 3 weeks, participants will be asked to write in about where they feel stuck, and the guide will respond to each person. All responses will be posted so everyone can benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That is true.
And a period of time at a Longview farm is an invitation to find ourselves by restoring a connection to earth, sky, wind, water, and plants. This year, our farm stewardship program is inviting farmhands from Sangha who wish to participate and learn the practices of regenerative farming. This is an opportunity to reconnect with the miracles of nature, get your hands dirty, and provide assistance with the many tasks of farming.
Yes. And I don't know if it says it in the ad, but the one thing that is really important is that a person has to be physically fit, because it's very physical.
Very physical. Yeah, being physical is important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a conversation of about 5 minutes and on one topic is fabulous.
The very best.
The very best. Here we go, Sherry.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, how are you doing? My name is Sebastian from Ecuador. How are you doing, Sherry?
Good. Good to hear from you. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm really glad that that I get to talk to you. I was just listening to your audiobook, The Key, yesterday.
Ah.
And so I think it's funny that I hopped in the call, and the first thing that Michael said was that if you're feeling stuck, there is these two things you can do. Because that's literally where I am right now. And so I was hoping you could throw in some light there, hopefully.
Maybe. What's going on?
So basically, I am building this project, which is like a regenerative AI tool to spread kindness in a communal level. And it's been really hard because I'm on this path of, like, you know, being in the States as an international student and trying to build something, but everything seemed like it was gonna work out, and then it didn't, and so now I'm questioning, like, if I should quit or not, or if I'm being unrealistic or not. I'm just, like, having a lot of doubt and just kind of waiting for that moment where everything just makes sense. So that's where I kind of am. But at the same time, I feel kind of stuck because, I don't know, I feel like I'm not doing enough. I don't know, a lot.
And so is this your deal? Is this something that you have come up with and that you're trying to get out into the world?
Yes.
And so, yeah, so you're not a part of a group. It's really kind of on you. It's your baby, as we would say.
I'm the main driver of the group. If I die, it dies, and everyone dies. You know.
Yeah. They'll go with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's that aspect. It's not going as you would wish, and so it's not just you. There are other people involved in this who are invested as well.
Yes.
Right. So at what point do you pull the plug on it? Or do you hold on because maybe it's going to turn around? Maybe it's going to start going in the direction that you hope it'll go in.
Yes, yes. And sometimes I see some progress that is small, but it is progress, you know. So I don't know. I'm just kind of like stuck. Kind of like, do I move forward? Do I not? And when is the moment to stop?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What obviously this is something that you care about, right? You would really like it to work. You think it's a good thing. Is that true?
Yeah, I with my whole heart do believe it. I mean, I have invested all my resources to it and taken loans and stuff because I really believe that it can work. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that was my next question. So it becomes a financial issue as well. Right? How how long can you hold on if it's just taking money and not giving money? And then there's your investment and then these other folks as well. So are you kind of at this point going to hold out as long as you can until it just becomes obvious that, okay, we're out of money. And so that's that. We need to do something else. Or are you thinking that you might as well call it? You know, you would want to call it before you're completely destitute.
I think I have been pushing it forward. That has been my, because I feel like at this point I wouldn't know what else to do with my life, you know? So I have been really pushing it for it to work. And beyond myself, I think it's something that could really benefit humanity, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, so we have somebody who's been in our Sangha for practically from the very beginning, and she happens to be a Catholic nun, Catholic sister. Mm-hmm. And when we were getting started with these things that we were doing in the very beginning, buying the first Zen center when we had no money, and then after that, buying the monastery when we still had no money. And each time she would say, well, why don't we just keep going until we run into an obstacle that we absolutely cannot get past? And if that happens, then we'll quit. And so that's how we proceeded. And it turns out we never actually did run into an obstacle that we couldn't get past. There were a lot of obstacles, you know, a lot of, what if we don't come up with the money? What those kinds of questions. But it was never anything that we couldn't hang on through. And so we did.
Yeah.
And that sounds like kind of the direction that you're going.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Yeah, it's what I've been doing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I have come up with the answer.
Because you haven't quit. So you must still be going. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm really grateful for you, Sherry. I just wanted to let you know. Like, again, I'm a fan. I have read all your books, literally every single one. I got the one for teens for my nephew, and I just go around. Like, I'm your best influencer. Like, I have gifted your book to every single person I have seen struggling. There is nothing wrong with you. And so thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you let us know how this goes, right? You're not going to, like, leave the country without telling us.
No, unless I get kicked out before, but then I will still hop on and let you know that I got kicked out.
Good. Very, very, very yes. good. All right.
Thank All you right. so
Thank
much.
Thank you so much. All right. Good night.
Bye, Sherry. Go happy.
Bye. Go happy.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Juan. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Good evening. This is Susan in Iowa.
Oh, hello, Susan. What's going on?
Howdy. Really cold weather.
Really what?
And cold.
Oh, cold weather. Weather. Ah, yes, winter. yes.
I do like winter. I am thinking, yeah, the email class is going to be a help. I guess for the most part, if I think of how things are going, they're going really well.
Well, good. Well, that's good, isn't it?
Well, it is. There's always the... the conditioning, you know, it's the roller coaster. But I always, so far, seem to catch it and notice it. And I'm mm-hmm. practicing, what I'm practicing with is, I was so easily distracted. And what I'm seeing is I'm working with the distraction. And so I don't get distracted from seeing when conditioning is, how do I say, when conditioning is like the here. I'm not avoiding looking at it, and I'm practicing not hating myself or being angry or upset, just recording and listening.
Good for you.
And so I guess being on the call helps me saying out loud, helps me see that I, in fact, I was really pleased that I'm saying, yes, yes, I'm here with this. It's unpleasant. I don't like it. And it's what is here right now. So,
Well, I love it. I love it hearing you say that for this very specific group. I would love it anytime, Susan, but right now, because Ashwini and I are working on a book right now. And I was working on this little section of it about meditation and what makes meditation so difficult and what it does for us, what it gives us if we stay with it. And it's exactly what you're describing, because when we first start trying to see what's going on with us and those voices start hitting us, with everything we're doing wrong and everything that's wrong with us, it's because we believe that those voices are telling us the truth, that they have some kind of truth about us, and they start saying those things to us. It's so upsetting. It feels so awful that we just want to do something other than be available for that information, right? And so, So what we're told then by, of course, that very same system is to do something to distract ourselves so that we don't have to listen to it. So, you know, I whatever it is that I do in order to have my attention on something other than those voices, those hateful voices in my head being mean to me, right? And so what you just said is, as we go along with practice, and this was, you know, this is my what I was attempting to point out, is that what happens is we start gaining more distance. Right? It still hurts. It's still painful, although it won't always be, because at some point we just realize they're horse pucky and go on. But we're trained to feel bad when those voices say such mean things to us. And so staying with it, what we're really doing is getting to the point. What is it? Desensitization. Oh my God,
yeah.
I feel like
desensitization.
yeah, that's the one. That it's kind of that process, right? We just hear it and go, yeah, okay. And we hear it, and pretty soon it just doesn't have a sting anymore. And then we realize that we're free of that. That they don't have any more ability to hurt us or to control us.
Well, that will be nice.
Well, you know what? You're so close to it because you can speak about it so clearly.
Good. I'm glad it seems like that because it does feel like that. It feels like a real breakthrough, actually. It's like I'm remembering all the teaching. The behavior may not change, but what you're doing with it is different.
That's right. That's right. Those voices are not going to stop torturing us. They're just not. Not until we no longer attend to them. As soon as we turn our attention to them, they're going to be right there doing the same thing they've always done. So it really is a process that you're going through of learning to just look it in the eye, so to speak, hear the voices, watch your response to it, and realize that you're still standing, or sitting in this case. You're still there, whole and complete, and nothing has happened to you. That's where we're headed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, and also paying attention when the trust is so much, the trust in all of that seems unpleasant and awful and everything, but there's always the awareness, the conscious, compassionate awareness that always does, is always there.
Yes, yes.
Supporting.
Yes, exactly. And our relationship with that is getting stronger as our relationship with the voices of ego weakens. Right? You can just feel tipping, the balance is tipping toward conscious compassion awareness, toward unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and there is that.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there is that, the practice of the trust is increasing because of that practice.
Yes, yes, exactly so. It just grows and grows and grows. And what we're learning to do is look to that affectionate witness. We're looking to that, the mentoring presence, rather than looking to the voices. It's almost like a little kid. Somebody says something mean, and they look back to their parent to see, is that true? Is that, you know, to get confirmation that, no, you don't have to listen to that. You don't have to believe that. That's, no, you don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty good description of it.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And our faith and trust grows every day that we practice.
It does. I will say I am really looking forward to when the year-long retreat starts.
Yes. Yeah. Well, of course, we're doing the beginner's mind retreat right now, so... we have that support, but I know what you mean. It's that gap when the year long isn't going on, it feels like too long. So yeah,
it does.
And
but we
course,
do have
we
the
do,
email class.
That's right. We have the email class coming up, so we're not going to be completely lost.
No. So
no.
Thank you, everyone.
All right.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Got show.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Mark in Chicago.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, I called in probably 6 months or so ago and talked to Ashwini about a good friend of ours, a younger woman who was had cancer and was really struggling. And I thought at the time, you know, she wouldn't live very long. Well, she has lived, but she's in hospice now. And so my question is, well, I mean, part of the issue is that, you know, if I had to be kidnapped by the Taliban and tortured or go through what she's gone through in this medical thing, I think I'd take the Taliban. It's just been awful for her. And, you know, that kind of sets the stage for the question about the family. So she has a 5-year-old daughter. And I think everybody is struggling over what do you tell a child, you know, that comforts them and conveys some or the right amount of truth. And just, you know, any guidance you have on that practice would reflect on this whole thing would really be helpful.
Yeah, well, it's so very difficult. Well, of course, I mean, that situation is just what everybody wishes would never happen, ever. But it does. And so it so much of it depends on who those people are, you know, what they believe. And that's, of course, what they're going to offer the child, I'm guessing. One of the things that we talk to people about in this practice is when you lose someone close to you, not to end the relationship, not to approach it as if they are gone, because our experience of it when we're really paying close attention is they're not gone. We feel their presence. They're very, very, absolutely right here with us. And I don't know about that for a small child, but I would guess even more so than an adult, because we have all of these beliefs and assumptions about what death means and how it's the end, and you know those kinds of things. Where I'm guessing a 5-year-old child doesn't have very many beliefs and assumptions about that. And so, you know, that would be my encouragement, that everybody around would just keep talking about mom and keeping her presence alive and letting the child know, talk to your mother. You know, talk to her all the time. Tell her everything. Tell her everything that goes on. Tell her how much you love her, and you know, like that. Yeah. But what a hard place.
Yeah, one more sad dimension is that Jessica has gotten so weak she hasn't been able to really spend any time with her daughter, and so the mom, Jessica's mother, has been living there, basically taking care of her. And so, you know, so many things have happened that make it clear that Emma, the daughter, doesn't really even, she's like losing her attachment to her mother, which, I mean, just has to be a horribly difficult thing, you know, in the last stages of your life. But she almost sees her grandma as her, you know, as her mother.
Yeah.
And it's
sad for us, Mark, but if we step back from it, how wonderful for the child.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would project for myself as a mother, that is exactly what I would want, that I would know that my child has moved on in that sense and has become attached to someone else, because that's the best guarantee that she's going to be all right, that she's going to come through this intact. Whereas if she were still completely attached to her mother, then there would be that loss and that emptiness. You know, a very large part of the child's life would be gone, right? Mm-hmm. So this way, that just seems like the best of all possibilities to me.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at that. The other thing that my wife has encouraged and worked with the woman to do is make recordings to leave for her daughter.
Yes.
And
yes.
I guess so the question on that would be, you know, is there any perspective on what the timing is there? Does it matter? Wait till she's curious? You know, that sort of thing.
For letting the child hear the
The
recordings? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That seems so. And you know, it sounds like it's going to be up to the grandmother, right? Because she's going to be the one who has the best sense of where the child is. I mean, some kids might want to just hear their mother's voice right on through, even though they wouldn't necessarily understand what the mother was talking about. It's just the mother talking to them would be a tremendous comfort. But yeah. I think her grandmother is probably going to be the best, have the best sense of that.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Well, that's good guidance. I appreciate that.
Yeah, gosh, it's what a hard place. And well, I'm going to be thinking about them. Let us know how it goes, okay? Wow.
Thanks. Okay.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
Okay, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Mark. Sounds like a challenging situation, Sherry.
And so much I project, so much love.
Indeed. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And Sherry, we are going to break for a good news update, and then we'll be back to talk with another caller.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
And thank you. And Jen, your guest is now live, and I'll turn it over to you.
Wonderful. Thanks, Michael. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jan, who is here to speak with us about her practice of keeping commitments. Welcome, Jan.
Thanks, Jen. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being with us in this new year.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing about commitments?
Well, it was interesting when, as a steward, when I got the schedule of the opportunity, I guess is a better way to put it, to sign up for Good News at various
uh-huh.
dates, I just
uh-huh.
automatically signed up on the first available time, not knowing
mm-hmm.
what I would talk about. But
yeah.
realized as I was looking at that participation, I mean, that's one of my commitments, to participate
yeah.
whenever possible. So it started there, looking,
mm-hmm.
you know, that of course I'm going to do this. And then looking at, well, what would be helpful to look at? Because it's an opportunity for me, really. And so as I was at the end of the, what I looked at right away was at the end of the year long, you know, that was sort of a major transition. It was a little bit of floundering about how to keep practice in the forefront. So I made some commitments for myself, sort of checked in with, I want to say, the heart. What's the heart's desire with this?
Mm.
And yeah, I think two or three things came up, and that's what I've been doing. And then, so been watching how that goes. It's not that I've been perfect by any means in keeping those commitments, but getting to see, as we always do, what keeps me from them and the enrichment I experience when I do keep them, and the trust that builds in within.
That's really beautiful, Jan. You know, because I was realizing, I think the way I said it was, you know, Jan speaking about practicing with keeping commitments, and actually, the way you framed it was practicing with commitments, right?
Mm.
Because it's way. What you just laid out is way broader than, okay, I'm going to keep this commitment, which is so what, you know, the new year, okay, here are all the things, here are all the ways I need to be improved, and I'm going to make myself be, you know, that sort of process. And what you're describing is a very, very different process than that. And you said it really in two ways, that you realize it's for you. You know, both the signing up for Good News and what you want to speak about on Good News, it's for you. And the same thing, it's so brilliant, right? Year-long retreat ends, you realize, I predict, you want that support. And so, okay, great. Then what are the commitments I'm going to put in place to provide that support for Jan, if you will, and then to watch the whole process around all of that?
Yeah. You sort of hit right on it, because it became much bigger to me as well. The more I looked, the broader, the bigger it got, just as far as process goes and what goes on. Mm. And when I, you know, enriching. I mean, it really has, well, practice always provides that in my experience. But that's what I love about saying yes to anything in practice when I'm able, is that it truly is. I'm the one that receives. And in that receiving, I think is the ability to give. It's that circle we talk about. It's like the receiving and giving are just really one and the same. And I want to mention one thing that's dropping in right now, because it hit me really strong. I think it was yesterday. We received, yesterday or the day before, we received the announcement that the Africa Project fundraising goal had been met, which was thrilling to read. Well, it was surpassed, actually, and the goal. And I thought, there it is. This here is an example of a huge commitment by a very large number of people. And so whether it's from an individual, you know, individual commitment and the results to a broad community, I don't, it's just, it's inspiring to me. And it builds trust and faith. And in my experience, it comes from a place of love.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you've touched on that at least twice, that place of it builds trust. You, when you first refer to it, that sense of, you know, I'm trying to think of how Sherry talks about it, but as we keep our commitments, we learn that we can be there for ourselves. We can count on ourselves. We can trust ourselves. And that's such a beautiful process. And then we experience, I think, what is always so, but we're not always in touch with it. Sherry mentioned this, I think it was on the Beginner's Mind call, how exquisitely well we're taken care of in that process. And I just was laughing, just or smiling, as you were saying that, Jan, because that you mentioned the meeting our goal as a Sangha, because literally as Michael was unmuting me, it dropped in, oh, we said that at Good News today we were going to report back on meeting our goal. And so there, life just did that, right? I mean, it just, and I absolutely love what you said about that, because I was also looking at that of, as a Sangha, we made this commitment and we just stayed until that was fulfilled. There, we just keep going.
Yeah, wow, truly. And I think it was the first caller tonight. I was seeing the same process in that. You know, gosh, things aren't going. Or, you know, whatever is going on that is not allowing the end goal, so to speak, and you just keep going.
Yes.
And you don't give up. And I think there's something, whatever the result, the not giving up on ourselves, on a group, on a goal, whatever it is, it's that not giving up that, what is it? Maybe you can see it more clearly than I can. I'm not seeing it right now, but it seems critical that we're not giving up on ourselves, and that is huge. That is huge.
It is huge. And what I hear in what you're saying, Jan, is such a sense of, we talk about in practice all the time, not knowing, right? Yeah. Because with anything, you know, oh, well, it's not going the way, whatever. But we almost never fill in that blank, right? It just stays nebulous. It's not going. Because if we really stop and look at it, what we realize is, I have no idea how it's going. I have no idea. It's just, we are where we are with it, and we stay with it to stay with it. And things just continue to unfold. And we get to, if we stay with it in that way, that's the gift there is in all of it, that it continues to unfold and we get to be with all of it as it unfolds.
Yes. Oh, and something else just dropped in as you were describing that, and that is what I've seen for myself that I didn't see for many years, but it seems really critical, is the acknowledging that commitment.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, you could say appreciation, acknowledging for the intent, for the effort, all of it, whether it's an individual or group, because otherwise it's like work, and no...
Yeah. Yeah.
No acknowledging that effort was put in. But so I just see that as part of the process. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because what I saw when you said that was that's such a mirror of the goodness that we are. And again, it's not that we aren't that good, you know, we're only that goodness if we, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. But it's just such a mirror, it's such a way to experience that goodness that we are, is really stopping to acknowledge that, you know, staying with it, you know, as a Sangha, we stayed with that. And not only did we meet that goal, we exceeded it and just funded, you know, transformation in Cantawamba for another period of time.
Yeah. Well, there is some dancing going on here in celebration. how could we not? I mean, I admit, just like with my own commitments, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to, you know, get to the end or succeed, whatever the term would be for the individual commitment. But there were times with the Africa Project, I thought, gosh, this isn't easy. I don't know if we're going to be able to do it, but that's okay. We're doing a good amount, you know. So to reach that was just astounding. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. 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 Truly. Yeah, something else went through, Jan, but it went right back out. So, but truly, thank you for. Yeah, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say we've touched on a lot, and
we did touch on a lot. Yeah. I think it was just kind of around that. You were referring to the first caller tonight, and kind of our staying with it, and just that sense of. I don't know. I was hoping if I started that sentence, it would come back, but it didn't. So I'll say it another time, Jan. It's another forum.
That works. That always works.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon to talk about it.
Oh, thank you, Jen.
All right. Go happy. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Jan. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And Sherry, that was fun. I enjoyed that. Oh, wrong Sherry Huber. Hold on. Let me try. How about there?
There I am. I'm so glad Jan brought that up, because that was a moment, wasn't it, to read that we have met the fundraising goal for Cantawamba and exceeded it, in fact.
Yes.
It's just, it's extraordinary. Because in the beginning it seemed like, oh, I don't know. That's a lot of money. And boy, people just stepped up and overcame everything that needed to be overcome and pitched and did it. And it's very, very exciting and inspiring. And of course, it's the subject of the good news. You know, it's the commitment. It's our commitment to practice that makes all the miracles happen.
Yes. And I loved when Jan commented about the commitment to participation, which to me is an essential piece of success in my life. Yeah. There was an opportunity I had at work this morning to participate, and I said yes. And who knows where it will go, but it's the yes that is what matters.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. The willingness. Willingness is the key.
Yes, I've heard that somewhere.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And we have a caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Let me try this button. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Karen.
Hey, Karen.
Oh, hi. I'm so glad you can hear me because I had my earpiece on and then I quickly took it out. Oh my gosh, I had this intuition that I was going to be called on next, and here I am. I'm just so struck with the conversation about willingness, but what I laughed at was Jen saying, well, if I start this thread of a conversation, maybe it'll drop in what I was thinking about. But then when it didn't, it was like, oh, well.
yeah.
Oh, well.
Precisely. What an attitude toward life, right?
Oh, my gosh. I just love that. I've been somehow thwarted many Tuesdays of remembering to call in, even though it's on my calendar. And tonight, we had just finished supper, and it was 10 minutes past the hour, and I looked at the clock, and I thought, oh, thank goodness, there's still time, you know. And I think what I'm really working with, and I signed up for the email class, and, you know, to work on this, is willingness. I seem to have more willingness earlier in my practice than I do now, and you know, I don't want it to be a cudgel to beat me up on, and I don't even know if it's really true, but it seems to me that that's what's going on, and
And so, what do you think that's about? Before I just project all over you. What goes on with that? So early on in your practice, where were you in your life that's different from where you are now?
What a good thing to look at. Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm for practice. Enthusiasm for living. I have to look at that before I can.
Let me ask you: what do you think that you were more troubled in your life, less secure, or maybe more prone to suffering, or?
Perhaps so long ago. There was just this excitement. There was this I don't know, Sherry. I don't have the answer to that question. Go ahead and project all you want.
Well, I don't think I have to, because I think you're going in a good direction. It just felt like there was excitement there. You wanted to know. You wanted to be involved. You wanted to be engaged. You wanted to participate. You wanted to. And when that's going on, you know, willingness isn't even actually an issue.
No.
Right? Because it's what I want to do. I don't have to be really willing to do what I want to do.
Yes, I do need to record about this, because I know, well, one of the things that I think one of the voices was saying, who can remember what the voices are saying? but it was probably a piece of self-hate about lack of willingness, and I'm sorry. I'm not making any sense here.
Well, okay, go ahead, because I thought you were, but go ahead, finish that thought.
I mean, see, that's what they do to me. That's what it does to me. I'm on a thread, and I'm looking at something, and it seems really cloudy and foggy, and I'm trying to recall a thread of what I was being told about my lack of willingness. I know what it is, that I tend to drift for things that are easy for me. And even though people say, oh, you're really working hard, and I go, well, no, that's really easy. And it's almost like I'm in a stage of my life where willingness isn't easy anymore.
Right, right. Well, and that was kind of my point, that, with what you did for a living, right, there was a time, I'm going to project, where that was all you wanted to do. You were just passionate about it. You wanted to throw pots all the time, right? And explore with new stuff and just, is this true or am I just making this up?
No,
and then after a few decades, you know, there's a waning interest or a lack of, not the same kind of energy and enthusiasm for it. I mean, you still might love it, but it's not like you can't wait to jump out of bed in the morning and go spend 12 or 14 hours doing it, right? And so those kinds of changes do happen for us over time, and which is why I think I project you're grappling now with willingness. Because what came so easily at another time in life doesn't come that easily at, say, this time in life. And mm-hmm. so it does take willingness. It's just easier. You know, at a certain point, it's harder not to than it is to. So I have all this energy, and I want to do all of this stuff. And not to do it is really frustrating, or it's difficult. You know, there's just all of this energy that wants to go in whatever direction. And then that energy is not so much over time. There's less energy. There just tends to be. And so, you know, as we say, willingness is what's there when I don't want to, right? So I used to want to. Now I don't so much want to, but I'm willing to, because it's like exercise. You know, there's a time, you know, I see, you know, young people out just racing along, you know, just running like crazy. And I think, yeah, I used to do that. Yeah, but now I don't. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean I don't want to exercise. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, very often I don't want to exercise. But I'm willing to, because I know it takes care of me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see that every day. And, you know, I don't know if it's part of the aging process, but it seems more important to me when I've never not quit practice, but it's like it's becoming I don't know if it's just a self-hating thing that's going on with me, but there's a desire to practice more.
Yes. Well, and Karen, I think that's a really important tie-in. I do. So yes, the enthusiasm changes. The desire changes. That, you know, the energy, the burning energy to, you know, meditate.
Be alive.
four or 5 hours a day, right? Mm-hmm. That changes, and there is the willingness, excuse me, and where the self-hate comes in, now the campaign is to stop you from doing what you know is good for you, what takes care of you, right? And so if it can stop you from that, then it wins, and that's what it's going for. So to take it out of the realm of, it's why we always talk about it like brushing your teeth, right? Yes, you have less life force now than you did to be spent on all of these different activities, but you're still going to brush your teeth. Yeah, and so just like that, do I want to? No, that's not the point. The point is not whether I want to or not. The point is I'm going to do it because it's what takes care of me. I'm going to eat well. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to practice because that's what makes my life work.
Yes.
Good.
I'm thrilled to be on the call tonight, and I look forward to the email class.
Yeah, and that's the whole deal, right? We have to stay connected, because if we don't, then we know who we're spending our time with, and it's not a happy companion.
No,
and
it's not.
It makes us unhappy. Yeah.
And I don't really think the life force is waning. I mean, I just think there's something else going on that I don't see yet.
Very possibly so.
Maybe so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very possibly so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe, in fact, what the life force really wants to be spent on is awareness, is presence and practice, which would definitely activate the ego voices to go into huge resistance.
Yeah.
Hyper resistance. Yes. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Yes, stay close.
Yes, ma'am. Go happy.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. And Karen, I cannot mute you, so if you could call back in or mute yourself, that would be great.
Sure.
And Sherry, we have time for at least one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Nancy.
Hey, Nancy.
Hi. Well, I decided on Sunday that I wanted to get in the queue to talk about all the wonderful things that I'm learning in the Beginner's Mind Workshop. And I am a beginner, and I feel, and I was like, boy, do I need this class. And Ego was saying before I, as I was sitting here, you know, being in the queue, you don't really want to tell on yourself that you don't, by talking to Sherry about these things, you're going to be really embarrassed. But here I am, because I want to learn. So one of the things when in the exercise about just thinking about what is my experience with in relationship with attention, the very first thing that came to me was what I'm thinking about. And I was just like, oh my gosh, that was really telling for me because, you know, thinking, I know, I've heard, is generally coming from conditioning. And so then what dropped in was, you know, that attention is noticing what I'm seeing, hearing, touching. And then I thought about feelings, what I'm feeling. And so one of my first questions was kind of where does that fit in attention?
Uh-huh. And so what is the function of attention, or what is the relationship with attention to all of those things? Is that what you mean?
Yes. Because,
yeah.
I mean, like my feelings, and, you know, as I did some of the other exercises, it was like I was judging, I don't mean judging in that way, but it's like I would notice something, and I would notice it's what it elicited in me, like what was the association or what was the connection. And so it was a very interesting process, but I feel so... I'm just wanting to hear and understand and learn.
Yes. Well, and that's the point, Nancy. It's exactly what you're describing, right? It's exactly what you're describing. That is awareness practice, right? So, every kid is told pay attention until, you know, it's like, and what does it even mean? You know, pay attention. What does that mean? And yet, we know it means something. It means what we're supposed to be doing. And so we don't actually know what attention is doing because we've never been taught, well, now we're being taught, right? To pay attention. Say it again.
I said I'm so grateful for this class. I need it. Want it.
Oh yeah. Because what we're learning to do is pay attention to attention. So right. So you're actually watching what attention is doing. So you know, when we do the turn your attention to your right knee.
Yes.
You're attending. You see attention go to your right knee, and you're aware that that's happening.
Yes, but that was interesting too because I realized that I found that it helped to touch them, because if they, you know, I could wiggle my toe, but then if it was something like my elbow or my nose, I was like, oh, okay, if I can touch it, then yeah, it's easier to put my attention there. So
that's
that
right.
was amazing.
Yes, because think of all of the things that we can't actually touch.
Yes.
And yet our attention either needs to be on or is on, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is, of course, what lights me up about practice. Not that we're going to get somewhere or we're going to figure something out or we're going to know something. That's not it. It's seeing all this stuff that is so much a part of our moment-by-moment living that we have no idea is going on.
Yeah.
So I'm going to encourage you to, you know, as you keep doing these exercises and keep playing with that there is going to be that point at which you actually feel attention touching whatever it is.
Mm.
There's a sense, even so I'm sitting here now and I'll turn my attention to something in the room and I sense when it makes contact with it.
Oh,
right? And then when it makes, it's like it touches it. And when it touches it, then it's interesting to watch how the whole mechanism kicks in of what we would either call labeling it or thinking about it or having an opinion about it, whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so just seeing how all of that works, playing with it, tends to, if nothing else, get us here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
this is all the stuff that we are programmed to miss because we're lost in our head thinking about stuff that isn't here. Just imaginary stuff. That has nothing to do with anything. I mean, the grossest form of it, imaginary conversations with people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? It's never going to happen. It never did happen. It's, you know, it's just made up. And yet that's what our attention is on instead of the person that we are in the place that we are having the experience that we're having.
Yes. These series of exercises were so interesting. I mean, thinking, like just taking a short walk and noticing the thoughts in the mind. And it was they seemed to be determined by what I was seeing. And then the voices came, oh, I need to deal with that. I need to call this person. This room is such
That's
a mess.
Right.
And so, yeah, it was really interesting to see. And when I have a decision to make, boy, that really takes up a lot of space in my attention. But I did see, and this was what was so encouraging, is that just being in the space of like, doing the exercises, I felt in the breath, focusing on the breath and seeing it, you know, the thoughts being less and seeing more spaciousness. I mean, just I felt more spaciousness and more relaxation and trust than usual just by doing these exercises.
Yes, yes. And Nancy,
you're not doing it right.
Yes, you are. And there's a specific reason that you had that experience of spaciousness, and that is because we can only attend to one thing at a time.
Mm.
And that is the primary ingredient in ending suffering. And you just described it. So there you are. You're going around. And suddenly attention goes to, well, you need to call that person and take care of that sentence. Because if you don't, and boop, 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 right? You're gone. But if you turn to that plant that you're walking past, you can't be simultaneously in that imaginary conversation in the head about something that doesn't exist here and now. You can't.
Yeah. And that's where the freedom lies.
That is so helpful. That's so, it's so broken down, so basic that I really can see that. And
yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, thank you.
It's thrilling, isn't it? At least it's thrilling to me. It sounds like it is to you. I love it. Yeah, I just love it. It's the most important thing in the world. Attention and awareness and the relationship between the two. It's the difference between suffering and freedom and enjoyment of life.
I'm so grateful. I mean, every time there is something, it's like, boy, this was just for me, but this one is just for me.
Yes. Yes. Well, I was just reading something today that the chap who said, humanity is one. The fact that we don't know that doesn't change it.
Yes. Oh, that's really great. Yes.
And so when we have that, this is just for me, what we can know is because this is for humanity. This is for all of us. This is what we all need. That's where that feeling comes from.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. Well, thank you for it all.
You are so welcome. Thank you. Thank you.
What's ahead?
Yeah. Don't listen to any voices ever that tell you you're doing it wrong. Because the proof that you're doing it right is that you just heard that voice and recognized it for what it was. That's doing it right.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank
you. All right. Thanks, Nancy. Good night. Go happy.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. So Sherry, that quote was, humanity is one, and the fact that we don't know that doesn't change it. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. It's not exact, but it's very close to that. Yeah.
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 Fascinating. Mm-hmm. What a way to end a great show.
Yeah. I've loved it. Thank you, Michael. So appreciate your doing this for us week after week after week.
My pleasure. And thank you, everyone. Go happy.
Go happy.